You're listening to SBS News.
James Watson has died at the age of 97. He's perhaps most famous for winning the Nobel Prize with Francis Crick for discovering the twisted lattice structure of DNA in 1953, which helped light the long fuse on a revolution in medicine, crime fighting, genealogy, and ethics. But near the end of his life, he faced condemnation and professional censure for offensive remarks, including saying black people are less intelligent than white people. He also faced questions about the contributions of scientist Rosalind Franklin to his DNA discoveries, with some critics suggesting she'd not been given due credit. She was unable to defend her record as she died of ovarian cancer in 1958. Australian scientist Bruce Stillman took over James Watson's lab. He's spoken to SBS's Rayane Tamer on his long association with the American biologist and how he's being remembered for both his breakthrough and the controversies that clouded his legacy.
What were your memories of James Watson, and what makes his contributions to science so extraordinary?
Well, I've known Jim for 46 years when I came from Australia to Cold Spring Harbour to work for 2 years, but ended up being here for 46. I wrote to him from Australia to ask to come and work here to bring my project from Australia, and he agreed. I got then rapidly promoted, so I knew him very well. He was an extraordinary man. He had very deep insight about science and about people. And he trained back at the Harvard days when he was a professor at Harvard from 1956 or seven through 1968, when he came to Cold Spring Harbor as my predecessor as director and then president. He had an incredible intuition about science and about people. About science, he kind of really predicted a lot of what happened in molecular biology. He wrote a very innovative and copied textbook of molecular biology of the gene in 1965 that really laid out in that version some of the things that happened in the next 30 years in science in molecular biology. And there were seven editions of that book that had a big impact on education. Of course, his famous double helix book told the public how science is done and how it can be competitive. And that was very interesting, but also controversial about Rosalind Franklin. He also was a builder. He helped build up the molecular biology department at Harvard University. He was a very strong proponent of women in science. There's some very prominent scientists, Joan Stites and Nancy Hopkins being among them, who really were nurtured in the 1960s by Jim, when no other scientist at Harvard would do that in those days, which is kind of paradoxical. Later on, he kind of criticized women and also criticized Rosalind Franklin. He built up Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. We were founded in 1890, and he came here, and it was a relatively small place when he came here, and he built it up, and I continued to do that. So it's now very substantial and probably one of the most prominent research institutions in the world, and has a long history of genetics. But I think his biggest impact is this discovery of the structure of the double helix with Francis Crick. I rate that along with the discovery by Charles Darwin of the mechanism of evolution through natural selection, and also the work by Gregor Mendel of the nature and the genetic laws of an inheritance that Mendel came up with. Those were in 1859 and 1865, and it took nearly 100 years till 1953 to get to the double helix. But that's had an amazing impact in science and society, which I can talk about.
Please do, because I was in year eight when I learned about him, and I can't believe that we're actually talking about him today. And I will briefly ask about Rosalind Franklin, because my science curriculum didn't speak about Watson and Crick without mentioning her as well. So yes, please, contributions and Rosalind Franklin.
On the Rosalind Franklin, you know, it's kind of paradoxical because Jim writing the book, The Double Helix, about the autobiography of the discovery, criticized Rosalind Franklin inappropriately, in my view, from what we know now. But in a kind of unusual way, he made her famous. Because later on, she became, a cause for women scientists, for women in scientists. Rosalind Franklin herself was an amazing scientist. She not only contributed some of the data that led Jim and Francis to the structure of the double helix, but she later on went on to do some really profound science and virus research. And some of that could have won a Nobel Prize on its own had she lived. And she was not eligible to win the Nobel Prize because she died of ovarian cancer before the prize was given. And they do not give the Nobel Prize posthumously. Nevertheless, I think nowadays, Rosalind Franklin is remembered along with Jim Watson and Francis Crick equally. Nobel Prize or not Nobel Prize, I think she's remembered equally as contributing to that monumental discovery. My own work is on DNA replication and inheritance of DNA. And one of the first slides that I have is starting off with Darwin and Mendel and then ending up with Watson, Crick, and Franklin and Wilkins. And that connection to my own research is really quite extraordinary. And anyway, it's a very personal thing. He had a huge impact on education, on society, on science, and also on people. And I think he'll be remembered for that. Of course, he was also controversial later in life, and that's an era which I think is unfortunate.
What kind of legacy do you think he'll leave behind?
He did the work for which he won the Nobel Prize in 1962. He did the work when he was 23 years old. And the last, I think it's true, I might be recollecting incorrectly, but I think the last line in the Double Helix book is, "I'm too young to be famous." And so he did this work at a very young age and then won the Nobel Prize at a young age. And he then used that celebrity and that notoriety to do a lot of really quite remarkable things. And I think that's what he'll be remembered for, but I think in 100 years he'll be remembered for the discovery of the structure of DNA.